Khaled, you're welcome to join us. You're welcome to join. The third reading of Parshas Toldos talks about the remarkable success that Yitzchak Avinu had, but more so the fallout. And this really is almost historical. The Jewish people are very successful, and what happens? And all of a sudden, the people stop liking us so much. There's an anti-Semitic backlash. Yitzchak was very successful. There was a drought. He was thinking of relocating to Mitzrayim. God said, not for you. Stay right here in the land of Israel. And despite the fact that everybody seemed to have failing agriculture, Yitzchak succeeded extraordinarily. Chapter 26, verse 13, the Torah goes on to speak about Yitzchak Avinu, our father Isaac's success. Vayigdal ha'ish, vayelech holach v'godel ad ki godel ma'od. These are a lot of words that mean a lot. Vayigdal comes to the word godel, which means great. The man became great. Vayelech, he continued to progress. Holach v'godel ad ki godel ma'od. He became exceedingly great. Everything really went in this most remarkable way. Rashi says that kigodal ma'od means that people looked at him as if he was some kind of, for lack of better terminology, like he walked on water, like Midas, like everything he touched turned to gold. Like they couldn't get over this guy. In fact, people started to say, it became a euphemism in this area, how Yo'emnim, they used to say, Zevel Prideisav. They prefer to have the dung of Yitzchak's donkeys. Shall Yitzchak v'le kaspei v'zahove shlavi melech. It said the dung of Yitzchak, the dung is more successful or better than the gold and silver of Avimelech. Now, the truth is the dung was a commodity. It was used for fertilizer, so it's not actually garbage. But nonetheless, I mean, dung is dung. And they said, no. We'd rather have the dung of Yitzchak than have the gold and silver of Avimelech. So, in other words, as much as he was wealthy, the people held him in the highest esteem and looked at him in the most remarkable way. Now, as you could imagine, this was not appreciated by everybody. The Torah goes on to say that Vehiloi, that he had Miknei Tzayin, that he had flocks of sheep, Miknei Vokar, he had these herds of cattle, Va'avudo Rabba. And we'll see what that means in a moment. In addition to having these herds and these flocks, he had Avudo Rabba, Va'yikanu Esai Pelishtim. And now the Pelishtim became jealous. So Rashi says, Avuda Rabba means Pa'ula Rabba, which means that this indicates not only that he had flocks and herds, but also that he had much agriculture. He had fields, he had vineyards, he had many people working these fields and vineyards. Rashi says in Old French, in Lashon Laz, it's Obrina, I think, or something like that. Avoida. Mashma avoda achas. If you have the word in Hebrew, avoda, it's one effort, it's one kind of toil. But it's avoda that turns it into lashon rabim, pa'ulo rabba. There's many things going on. So Yitzchak had a company that had many, many different divisions. A lot was going on in his business. It's interesting that the Sepharno says that the avoda rabba refers to fields. And he says because avodas, when you have the word avoda, toil or work, typically it would mean working the fields. It kind of sits very nicely with the pasuk, because the pasuk, the verse begins to talk about tzayin and then bakar. We talk about sheep, which is one kind of endeavor. People raise sheep primarily for wool. And then bakar, which is primarily raised for beef. So it's a different kind of business. And then it's Avudu Rabba. So it was not the flocks or herds. So that's why the Sepharno says that that must have been the fields. And because he had these fields to work, and the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, also says something very similar. He says this talks about the fields of Vedas Karka, which kind of makes sense. And it also makes sense because in the end of the second reading, it says that everybody was worried about the economic collapse as a result of drought and famine. And here Yitzchak was told, stay right here, don't go to Mitzrayim. So you plant the fields you have, but it's not going to rain. You plant the fields you have. So he planted those fields and did everything he could, and the fields blossomed, and they brought incredible yield, an amazing harvest. And then the next verse, we're talking about how great he is. And in verse 14, we're talking about Tzayin and Bakar. We're talking about flocks and herds. So what happened to all the fields? What happened to the agriculture? What happened to Yitzchak's success in farming? So Avud Rabba would allude to that, and the reason that we have the pasuk, the verse specifying the idea of Tzoyin u'Bakar, the sheep and the cattle, the herds and the flocks, is because this is not talked about before. Before we talked about the agriculture. And now we're talking about something in addition to the agriculture. We hear that Yitzchak was doing the same thing that his father did. Avraham Avinu was a shepherd. He had flocks and people watching his herds. Yitzchak was doing the same thing as well. And the result, well, the result is like is typical in history. People became jealous. Who became jealous? Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask Ramban, Ramban says the king became jealous. He didn't like that people were saying that we'd rather have Isaac's dung, the dung of his camel, of his donkeys, than have your gold and silver. He didn't like that. The king doesn't like when one of the citizens is more powerful than the king, how more highly respected. The ministers didn't like it. The nobility of the land didn't like it. If you ask Sepharno, he'll tell you everybody who was involved in agriculture. Because what do people get jealous of? What they're supposed to have. I would imagine accountants are jealous of other accountants, right? If they do very well. Or stockbrokers would be jealous of other stockbrokers. Right? That's a natural thing. So the people saw his fields booming and their fields withering. And they couldn't take that. This it ate them alive. Here they were trying so hard to plant their fields, not seeing success. And this guy Yitzchak, everything he touches, like Midas, turns to gold. So at any rate, if you put Ramban and Sepharno together, everybody was jealous. And Yitzchak is going to end up in hot water as a result of this. So what do they do? All of the wells, Ashachafru Avde Aviv, that had been dug by the servants of his father, meaning Avram Avinu's servants, B'yemei Avram Aviv, during the days of Avram Avinu, Sitmum Pelishtim. Pelishtim filled them. Vayimalum Ofar, they filled them with soil. So, it says, Sitmum Pelishtim. Okay, they were jealous of him, so why'd they fill the wells? Like, what does one have to do with the other? Are you jealous? You're jealous. They wanted to harm Yitzchak, harm Yitzchak. What was it with the wells? Why'd they attack the wells? It's interesting, because historically we were accused of poisoning wells. But here they filled the wells. So Rashi says they needed a pretext. Antisemitism never begins with open antisemitism. Always a pretext. We don't hate Jews, we hate Zionists. We worry about underdogs and downtrodden people. Yeah, that's a fake narrative, you know that. No, well, we don't want to hear about fake narrative, but that's our narrative. So that's our pretext. Hitler, Yimach Shemay, when he rose to power, what did he say? He had this narrative. The Jews are the bankers, the Jews took our money, they're the ones that ruined the economy. So create a scapegoating, create a narrative, create a pretext, and then we can justify doing what we do without feeling evil or bad. So Sitmon Pelishtim, Rashi says, here was their pretext. Nipnei, the reason that they did this is because, and Yitzchak goes and redigs the wells, there's this struggle over the wells. Sha'amru, they said, Takola, this is a stumbling block for us, Himlanu. Why? Here's what's going to happen. We are going to have, at some point, an invasion. There's going to be armies. And when these armies move in, what's the number one thing an army needs to be successful? The number one thing.
You need water.
Supplies. You need water. You need hydration. You need supplies. What Bederech HaTeva, naturally speaking, what broke the Nazis when they invaded Russia? The supply lines were spread thinner and thinner and thinner, and the Russians retreated deeper and deeper into Russia, and the scorched earth policy, which is the same thing that did in Napoleon. The Russian winter. Only Russians know how to handle the Russian winter. The French and Germans didn't know what to do with it. And then the lines became thinner, and you needed longer trains. And then the partisans started to attack the trains and blow up trains. So this eventually weakened that supply line to the point that these mighty armies collapsed. So they said, we're going to have armies that will move in on us, and Habayis Aleinu, and we won't be able to do any scorched earth because you dug all these wells. So you enable these oases for these soldiers to come, and they're going to be able to sustain themselves, and in the end, we're going to pay the price. They're going to come and conquer our land. So the Jew is now getting blamed for an invasion that didn't even happen yet. There's going to be an invasion. It's going to be the Jew's fault. And because of him, he's going to be the one to dispossess us. He's going to be the one to take away our land. And this is unbelievable. You could have written this in the newspaper yesterday. So is this, therefore, that's why the Targum says, Tamoinin Pelishtoi. That what did they do? They kept these for themselves. They made sure that we're going to take care of this problem by ourselves. Lashon Stima, we find this idea of Stima, which means to seal off, Bilshena Talmud in the language of the Gemara. This is found in Meseches Pesachim. It says, Mitamtem Es Alev. Over there, it talks about something totally different. It talks about spiritual sensitivity and a person not having an open heart or a sensitive heart or a feeling heart or compassion. And it uses the terminology of timtum, sealing of the heart, when nothing is able to enter the heart. And the point is, we talk here about sealing off. So they sealed off these wells. And these wells became the symbol of the struggle between Yitzchak and between those who were jealous of him and his detractors. Now it says, actually, the same thing twice. It says, sitmum, and then vayimalum offer. They sealed the well, and then they filled it with soil. Well, if you filled it with soil, you don't have to seal it. And if you sealed it, you don't have to fill it with soil. Why the redundancy? So the Or HaChaim says something very interesting. When you want to ruin a well, what's the first thing you do? It says they heard boulders and rocks in it. What was the first thing you did? It would be very hard to get the rocks out, very heavy. It's easy to throw boulders or toss boulders into a deep well. How do you get them out? So they figured this way, they'd ruin the well. And then, just for good measure, then they filled with earth afterwards. So all the crevices, everything became filled up. And basically the well was as if it never existed. And then, if that's not enough, then the king sends a message to Yitzchak. He says to Yitzchak, I think it's time for you to move on. Why don't you leave us? Go away from us. Well, what did he do wrong? Why should you leave us? You're too successful. You're doing too well. People aren't happy. Maybe he said to him, it's for your own protection. It's for your own good. That's what the Nazis, Yimach Shmo, said when they ghettoized us. He said, for the protection of the Jewish people, we're going to ghettoize them. That was officially their pretext. Because the people are angry at what the Jews have done to them, we're going to ghettoize them, we're going to guard them, and this way, they'll be protected. You know, like the mafia who wants your protection and you pay for it. So Eliezer Yitzchak was told to keep moving. And so the moving Jew now had to move forward. It's interesting to note that Rashbam and the Chizkuni say that we know Avraham Avinu was making a chazaka. He was acquiring the land of Israel already from the very beginning when he went to move to Hebron. God said, go ahead, kum hesalech ba'aretz and parshas lech lecha, go and acquire. And Avraham Avinu went and acquired. He got into the house. And then Parshas Chayesara becomes public, and he purchases a piece of land. And the Pelishtim said, look at this, Avram, and now Yitzchak, they're digging wells. And by digging wells, they're actually asserting themselves over our land. So by filling the wells, they sought to weaken Jewish control over Eretz Yisrael. They sought to undo the kinyan, the acquisition that was made. And he tells them, you need to move on. Kiyotzamta. Ramban says, Cherpa Hilano. It says shame for us. Me as the king, it's an embarrassment for me that this Jew living in my country or my province is richer than me and more powerful than me. It doesn't look good. It's not right for the monarchy. And Radak says the people are jealous of you. He said, we need to protect you. You're going to be attacked. So better you should leave. So Avimelech is the good guy. You know, he's a monarch. He doesn't care. It's beneath his dignity to worry about somebody else's success. But what will happen to you? So Yitzchak gets the boot. What's he going to do? The king says, go. He goes. Vayelech misham Yitzchak. Yitzchak moves from there. Vayichan benachal Gror. He settles in the valley or gorge of Gror. Vayeshev sham. And he dwells there. Nachal Gror, Rashi says, what's up with Nachal Gror? Rashi says, this was Rochek min ha'ir. He basically moved into a rural area. Went away from where other people were. And this way, he relocated everything. This, of course, could not have been good for business. Because when you're not where the traffic is, how are you going to do commerce? But Yitzchak has no choice, so he moves there. Vayashav Yitzchak, as soon as he moves his business, vayachber es be'erei samayim, he goes back to digging those wells. He goes back to the same wells, asher chafro b'mei Avraham Aviv. He feels this personal obligation, this mission, to redig his father's wells. The wells that his father had dug, vayisatmum pelishtim, the ones that had been sealed off by the Pelishtim, acharei maisav, after the passing of his father, vayikro lehem shemes. He renamed these wells. The truth is these wells are like new wells because they had filled them so well and kind of liberated any efforts that Avram had put in. It was almost like it was a new job almost. It wasn't easy, like, to uncover. He had to redig the whole well. But he nonetheless tried. It was a reclamation of past glory. He called them the names, similar names, Kishemis, Hashikar Le'amaviv. The names of these wells are oases, like his father had called them. Rashi says, Vayoshav, he returned, Vayachber. Which, what did he return and dig? Rashi says, Habe'eris HaShachafro, the very same wells that had been dug, B'mei Avram, in the days of Avram, U'pelishtim Sitmum, the Pelishtim sealed those wells, Mikoydim Shanasa Yitzchak Migrar, before Yitzchak went away from Tigrar, Chazar V'chafar, and he went back, and he said, I'm going to leave, but before I do that, those wells are going to be redug. How'd that go? How'd that go, Yitzchak's redigging of wells? So, Vayachpiru Avdi Yitzchak B'Nachal, they dug there in the Nachal. Vayimtzu Sham Be'er Mayim Chaim. This seems to be now a new endeavor. Yitzchak redug the old wells, and he's digging his own wells. And they find over there a source, a spring of live water. And as soon as they find the source of live water, Yitzchak was basically run out of town, chased away from the municipality. We don't want you doing business over here. You're too successful, you're too good. Goes away to a valley, redigs old wells, and digs a new well. And guess what happens? The shepherds of Gerar began to quarrel with the shepherds of Yitzchak. Lema, what were they saying? Lanu amayim, this is our water. Vayikra Shem HaBe'er Esek. They called the name of this well contention. Ki hisasku ime, for they contended with him. They quarreled with him. So it was a quarrel, a fight. Not nice, not pleasant. Rashi says Esek means irur. Irur means when a person might try to do something and then there's it's contested. Like something could be contested in court or something could be contested in the court of public opinion. It was contested. What Yitzchak did was contested. People did not accept it. Ki is asku imay, because they had contested or contended with him. This asku imay aleha, they contested with him over this. Bimriva beiru, there was quarreling and there was contesting, contending. This is what was going on. So Yitzchak's not too happy, and he goes. He says, "Okay, fine. I'll dig another well. I'll move on." Verse 21, Vayachpiru Be'er Acheres, he goes and digs another well. Vayirivu Gamaleh, so they came to fight about that too. Vayikra Shma, they called the name of this one Sitna. Even worse, Rashi gives us a French word, but basically means harassment. They harassed him, they don't let him live. First one, they argued. Now they just downright harassed him. In the beginning, there was a pretext. Now there was just banning the Jew. Let's have BDS. Let's just get in his way. Let's try to stop him. Let's do anything we can to impede his progress. The Yitzchak Misham, Yitzchak picks himself up from there. Vayachber Be'er Acheres, he goes and digs another well. And finally, third time, this time, V'loi Ravu Olel. There was no fight over it. Vayikra Shema Rechoves. This well was called broad and spacious. Vayomer, and he said, Ki Ata Hirchav Hashem Lanu. Now God has broaden things for us. We don't feel the squeeze. We're not being harassed. We're not being contested. And as Uforinu Ba'aretz, we'll be fruitful in this land.
Is this the same Rechovot that exists today?
To the best of our ability, or best of our knowledge, this is approximately the same Rechovot that exists today. But it's exactly the same, or 500 meters or 1,000 meters one way or the other, but around that area is Rechovot. Mm-hmm. We think. So that's the story of the three wells, and this is primarily what we know about Yitzchak. If somebody were to ask you, what did Yitzchak do? Say he dug wells. He's very successful and he dug wells. So obviously, if the Torah is telling us about Yitzchak being a well digger, there must be something much more profound being conveyed to us. There's a deeper message, there's an idea which is relevant for us today. I'm going to invite you to open the Biurim book. We're going to go to page Shindalad Mem, which is Chavdal, the 24th entry of this parsha. And we are going to analyze and examine the deeper message of the wells and the well digging. And our analysis begins with a quote from the commentary of Ramban, Nachmanides. Nachmanides, in his commentary on verse 20, says the following. And this is kind of an overarching or general quote. Missing some words here and there, but this is the synoptic quote. Be'er Mayim Chaim, says Ramban, the living well, the well of living water, Yirmoiz This alludes lebeis elikim. This alludes to the house of God. Asher yase banav shel Yitzchak, that will be made by the children of Yitzchak. What are we talking about, of course? The Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash are made by the children of Yitzchak. V'kara harishayin, the first Beis HaMikdash then, if the well corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash, the first one would be called Esek, contention. Yirmai, says Ramban, this alludes to Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because our enemies contended. Eventually they destroyed it. Hasheni, the second well, Karashma Sitna, it's called harassment. What happened to the second Beis HaMikdash? Didn't go very well. Shame Kasher min Harishon, it was even worse. The destruction was far worse the second time around. Hu Abayis Hasheni. Ashlishi, the third well, Karerechoivois. This is called broad and spacious. Hu Abayis Ha'asid Sheyibonev Imheira B'Yameinu. This, says Ramban, is the third Beit HaMikdash that we are waiting for it to be rebuilt speedily and in our days. Okay, that's what Ramban says. He says, wells is Beis HaMikdash, three wells, three Batei Mikdash. First Beis HaMikdash destroyed, first well doesn't go well. Second well doesn't go well, no pun intended. Yeah. Third well, the Chayvis, this is good. Here's the third Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbe says, in the Sefer Megala Amukos, it says something very interesting, which kind of relates to this. Over there it states that the Shloishas HaAvos, that the three patriarchs, are connected Shloishas Amudim. They correspond to three pillars that the Mishnah proverbially says the world stands upon. What are those three pillars? Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Torah, of course, means the study of Torah. Avoda is really related to Beit HaMikdash, or offerings, but in our day and age, reflects the notion of prayer. And Gemilas Chasadim is what they call today social action, to care about others, to care for the downtrodden, for the hungry, for the sick, for those who are bereaved, for those who need a helping hand, to be kind and giving. So this corresponds to the three patriarchs. Avraham, what would he represent? Gemilas Chasadim, of course, the master of kindness and hospitality. Yitzchak represents Avoda. And Yaakov represents Torah. Ulofizeh, according to this, Yesh Levayar Tam Lekach, Shabbat Emigdash, Nirmaz Dafke, Bekeshel Yitzchak. In all of the narratives of our patriarchs and matriarchs, we don't find direct allusion to the Beis HaMikdash, with the exception of here. This is the only narrative which actually talks about efforts that are being made, and these efforts being made are on behalf or in the image of a future Beis HaMikdash. So it's really about, it's in Yitzchak's narratives that we find allusion to the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason is because Yitzchak is connected Amud HaAvoda. Yitzchak corresponds to the pillar of Avodah, which Avodah, we said, reflects the notion of offerings, of Beis HaMikdash service. In today's day and age, our prayers, which are in lieu, or take the place of the karbanos, of the offerings that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So that's what the Megala Amukos says. So the Rebbe takes this a little bit further and he says, perhaps we could add that there is a connection between the concept of Beis HaMikdash itself and wells. So it's not only that Beis HaMikdash is alluded to in the narratives of Yitzchak, but the wells specifically. It wasn't just in the narrative of Yitzchak, specifically with a well. Somehow a well mirrors the idea of a Beis HaMikdash. And the question, of course, is how would that be? The Beis HaMikdash is a building that's on top of the ground, and the well is beneath the ground. Exact the opposite. This is about building something. The well is actually about removing something. You don't build a well, you reveal a well. You're digging down, you're taking the sand or rocks away. So the Rebbe says like this, B'chafides be'er k'delim se'mayim yeshnam shnei tzadim. When you speak of digging wells and finding water, there are two ways of looking at this. On one hand, well digging is, well, difficult, challenging, tremendous effort and toil. Hachafido nasis bidei adam. People have to dig the well. It's very difficult to dig the well. Let's not talk about water. Let's talk about gas, oil and gas. What happened in Canada a couple of years ago when gas went down? Western Canada collapsed. Why? Because what was driving Western Canada was oil and gas. The problem is, in Saudi Arabia, you just put a pole into the ground and oil comes out. And in Canada, you have to do a lot of what's called fracking. There's a very, very thick crust of rock, and you have to break through it in order to be able to reach the oil. So the problem is the digging the well. There's not less oil. Western Canada probably has as much oil as Saudi Arabia has. They can find it very easily. For us, in Canada, it's very difficult. So if you're selling barrels of oil for $99 a barrel, and it costs you $79 to dig and get the barrel, you're still making $20 profit. Fine. The OPEC nations are making $98 profit. Canada's still making $20 profit. When it costs, however, $100 to dig and produce a barrel, and all you're getting is $99, so then it's not worth digging anymore. The digging takes effort. And this is very different than a Ma'ayan. A Ma'ayan is a natural spring. The Mayans are just there. They're just there. It's a natural spring. Nobody dug it. Nobody worked at it. So on one hand, the well emphasizes our effort, our work. But on the other hand, let's think about this for a minute. Hamayim sheyetzim me'abir, when you dig the well and the well is filled with water, where'd the water come from? Did you have to import the water? Did you have to bring the water? No, the water was always there. What happens is the person removes that which covered the water, the offer, the soil that was on top of it, and then once you reveal enough of that which is on top of it, take away enough of earth's crust, the waters all of a sudden surge and they just break through. In other words, on one hand, the well represents our efforts. On the other hand, it has nothing to do with us. It's something that comes from a deeper, more profound place. It's always there, in fact. These very two same sides are with the Beis HaMikdash. Let's talk about the idea of Hashras HaShchina, God's presence. Can we manufacture God's presence? Think about that. No, definitely not. Where does God's presence come from? It comes from God. So what can we do? But Kadesh HaShchina Ochen Tishra, in order for the Shechina to come, the Deshes Yigir Rabba Mitzad Bnei Yisrael, we have to do our part. We have to create the envelope, the repository. We have to create the receptacle, or the vessel, if you will, in which God's presence should reside. So we have to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash takes tremendous effort. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, V'asuli Mikdash, you have to make the Beis HaMikdash. But God promises, if you make it, then I will come. V'shachanti b'seicham. And so that's how a well and a Beis HaMikdash are actually synonymous. The same idea. Tremendous effort is required on our part, my dear friends. But we must know that the ultimate success will come in Meretz Hashem from a higher place. May our efforts finally bear fruit. May we be zeicha. We merit to see the third Beis HaMikdash. Will be amenu. Amen.